My friends in Christ, the Jesus who stood up to read in his hometown synagogue of Nazareth in today's gospel was not the same Jesus who had left Nazareth a bit earlier. He was a changed man, changed by experiences both dazzling and harrowing. He had followed the crowds to the Jordan, where he had been baptized by John and seen the heavens open up and the Holy Spirit descending on him. And he had heard his Father's voice, "You are my son, my beloved one, my favor rests on you." That was more than enough to change a man. But there had been even more. From the lofty pinnacle of his baptism, Jesus descended into a dark valley, 40 days of fasting in the desert, 40 days of prayer and struggle that culminated in a terrible encounter with the evil one who tried to divert him from his mission, enticing him with temptations that must have seemed so very sensible at the time, temptations to use his gifts and his powers for his own advantage, to turn stones into bread, to turn the whole world into a kingdom for himself. In other words, temptations to turn God into some sort of magician or to redefine God in terms of radical selfishness. And to each of those temptations, at what cost we can only guess, Jesus had said no. And that no must have steeled him for that one great yes that still lay in his future. So, yes, the Jesus who returned to Nazareth was indeed a changed man. Nazareth may have been home, but there was really no going home for him any longer. Now, no returning to the way things used to be, and certainly no pandering to the hometown crowd by telling them things that would make them feel good. Instead, he took them to places that prophets had always taken God's people, uncomfortable places, scary places. And they took him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built, determined to hurl him off the precipice. Some homecoming. It hadn't started out that way. Luke's account of Jesus' return to Nazareth indicates that the people's first reaction to him was quite positive. All spoke well of him. They were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. But when he began to invade their comfort zone, when he went beyond reading prophetic words from Isaiah to speaking pointed and prophetic words of his own, well, then amazement quickly turned to indignation and then to fury, proving that prophets do not play well at home. Who, after all, was Jesus to remind them of how, because of people's hard-heartedness, the prophets Elijah and Elisha had worked their wonders for outsiders only, not insiders, heathen foreigners? Who wants to hear a message like that? The people of Nazareth certainly didn't, and we probably wouldn't have either. And yet, it is the recurring message in all the scriptures, including the Gospels, outsiders becoming insiders. St. Luke's Gospel, which is this year's Gospel, is literally loaded with stories of God favoring outsiders. It's one of his central themes. Here are some of Luke's lineup. The shepherds who were first at the manger. The tax collectors and prostitutes who dined at table with Jesus. The band of women disciples who followed Jesus to minister to him. Zacchaeus up in his tree. Outsiders, each one of those. Then there's the Good Samaritan of the parable, as well as the prodigal son. Only Luke tells us those stories. The same goes for the good thief who stole heaven from the cross, and the Roman centurion who found faith at the foot of the cross. Again, outsiders, each one. But insiders for Jesus, the preacher, and the prophet. But Jesus is not the only prophet in today's readings. Jesus, the prophet, is paired with Jeremiah, the prophet. Jeremiah's call, like Jesus' call, had come to him while he was still in his mother's womb, a way of saying that his call was woven right into his very being. But unlike Jesus, Jeremiah tried to resist his call, pleading youth and ignorance, but to no avail. "I will be with you," God had said to him. "I will put my words in your mouth." And what were the words that God put into his mouth? Hard words, disturbing words, anything but comforting words. "Brace yourself, stand up and speak to them. Confront them by telling them everything I bid you. They will fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you, for I am with you to deliver you." You see why today's first and third readings belong together. I wonder if Jesus, driven from his hometown synagogue on that wave of fury, his own townspeople clamoring for his life, I wonder if he thought of Jeremiah and his lot. If he did, he must also have taken comfort in God's promise to be with him. The call to be prophet, it's our call too, you know, given us on the day of our baptism. And it's a call that can take us to Jeremiah kind of places and Jesus kind of places, places where we'd rather not go, places that will stretch us and cost us and catapult us beyond our comfort zone. As when, for instance, we take a stand for the value of human life, each and every human life from womb to tomb. Or when we speak up on behalf of migrants, refugees, and asylum seekers. Or when we advocate in favor of stricter gun controls or against the proliferation of nuclear weapons. Or when we speak out against the death penalty. The possibilities are many. And the likelihood is that answering the prophetic call will bring us more grief than comfort, that it will make our lives less comfortable, not more. Yet, my friends, it is our call, our baptismal call. And God says to us, as he said to Jeremiah, "I will be with you. I will place my words in your mouth." Friends, it is here at the Eucharist, more than anywhere else, that God does just that.